Are in Psalm chapter 90. Psalm chapter 90, and we're going to read the first 12 verses. Well, actually, that's the entire psalm, actually. Psalm 90, verses 1 through 12. And so I'd like you to take your Bibles. Psalm 90, verses 1 through 12. This is very familiar to all of us. And we're going to start reading in verse 1 here. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man to destruction and say, "Return, O children of men." For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. You carry them away like a flood. They are like a sleep. In the morning, they are like grass which grows up. In the morning, it flourishes and grows up. In the evening, it's cut down and withers. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we are terrified. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So, teach us to number our days. And this is the focus, really. This verse here is like the focus of the psalm and the focus of our message. So, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. I want to share a story with you. I think it's been many years since I shared the story, but there were two men on 9/11, 2001. The man on the left, his name is Will Jimeno, and that man on the right there, his name is John McLaughlin. Will Jimeno and John McLaughlin. They were the last two people rescued from the World Trade Center. The last two people. They were both policemen. They were both Port Authority Police Department officers. And in 2006, maybe some of you have seen this movie, in 2006, Oliver Stone did a movie called World Trade Center, in which he featured the story of these two men in that terrible, terrible day. I want to tell you and read to you a few things, some of the quotes that these men wrote about that day, and very, very, very horrible day. For Jimeno, the man on the left, it was a tragic day, but it was a defining day in his walk with God. It really impacted him in a mighty, mighty way because of what happened that day. He and McLaughlin and three other police officers went into the building together. But very soon after they went in the building, that building collapsed. Three of the police officers, other than these two, died instantly right next to them. Suddenly they found themselves in a pile of cement and shredded metal and just in a, you know, flames. I mean, everything you can imagine. I mean, sometimes fireballs would come through and nearly set these men on fire. It was so hot. They were stuck for 10 hours. 10 hours in this predicament. 10 hours. There were ruptured gas lines. Sometimes those ruptured gas lines would send a flare of fire, and some of those police officers whose guns were fully loaded, Bob bullets The fire was setting off those bullets, and there were bullets flying all around these two officers. Think of that. It's bad enough there's fire. It's bad enough that they're pinned in by all this rubble, by cement, by metal, by rebar. But there's bullets flying around them. It's a miracle that they weren't hit. At that point, after 10 hours of that, Jimeno's faith began to falter. He tells this story, and I'm going to quote him right now. "We had been crushed, burnt, and shot at by then. I was exhausted. I had done everything as a police officer that I could do, and everything as a human being. I was at that point where I just knew I was going to die." But this is an amazing thing that happened. And again, none of us will know whether or not this truly, truly happened or if he was hallucinating or not. But by the way, I do believe that something like this could happen. We don't want to put God in a box and say that something like this could never happen. But listen to Jimeno's words here. Very, very interesting. "When all things began to seem unbearable, Jimeno saw a figure coming toward him through the rubble." And this is Jimeno's own words here. "He wore a glowing white robe and a rope belt. I couldn't see his face, but I knew it was Jesus. Jimeno saw an endless sea of waving grass over the figure's left shoulder and a lake over his right." Jimeno remembers saying these words, "I remember asking Jesus, when I get to heaven, can I have some water? When I get to heaven, can I have some water?" And according to Jimeno, this vision filled him with a new volley of hope. He had gotten to the place in 10 hours where he just said, "I'm going to die today. There's no hope for me. I'm going to get hit by a bullet. I'm going to get burned alive by these gas eruptions that keep happening. I haven't had anything to drink in 10 hours. I'm going to die." But he said, having that vision just aroused him, filled him with hope. He said, "I felt a resurgence of optimism, the will to fight." He turned to his friend John McLaughlin, and he said to him, "We're going to get out of this hellhole." And they did. Several hours later, I don't know how many hours, but several means probably at least three more hours, U.S. Marines, New York Police Department rescue workers lifted him and McLaughlin out of their prison, and Will Jimeno gave thanks to God Almighty. Those events gave him a new outlook on life. And what he said after he looked back at that harrowing day, he said, you know, even if a person lives to be 90 years old, he says, I calculated it out, and he said, even if a person lives to be 90, it's only 32,000 days on earth. 32,000 days. And Jimeno said these words. He said, it's not that many. It's not that many. You have to do good and do right with the small period you have in between. You have to do good and you have to do right. And you know what? Of course, he nails it on the head. That our lives are to revolve around honoring God, doing what's right, doing what's good in the small time. It's interesting that he says, you don't have many days. Not that many. He says, we only have a small time to honor God. Eternity is long, but honoring God is small. You know, and you know what? This is the title that I've given to the message today. I've taken Jimeno's words as my title, because we're entering into a new year, and I just want to go back to Psalm 90, point a few things out to you, and remind you and I that there's not that many. You know, none of us know who will still be here next New Year's. If the Lord tarries his coming, who of us will still be here? None of us know. And you know what, young people, don't you even admit, you that are young, don't you admit, you don't know if you will be here. I mean, you say, you know, when you're young, you say, oh, I've got so much time left on earth. We don't know. We don't ever know. You open the papers every day in young people. Some of them have some kind of a stroke, or this happens to them, or they're in a wreck, or they're hit by a stray bullet. There was a little girl recently in Fort Worth, I think it was, or Dallas, and she was just in her house, and a bullet, somebody's shooting out in the road, and the bullet went in and took this little girl's life. It was just awful. The family and the grandparents, they were just heartbroken. It's not that many. And so that's what we're going to talk about today and remind ourselves, hey, since it's not that many, what do we need to do? How do we need to think as we approach this new year? Okay, let's bow for prayer, and we'll put it in God's hands. Father, use this in all of our hearts and lives today. And God, let us leave here thankful that you met with us today, Holy Spirit, that you spoke to our hearts through the Word of God. And we pray it in your precious name. Amen. You know, the Guinness Book of Still Records has this woman here on the screen as the person, as far as everybody knows. Now, this is the people that they have records for. They have a birth certificate and all that kind of stuff. But this is the woman who's lived longer than anybody that we know of. You know, of course, the Bible tells us there are people that lived hundreds and hundreds of years. But this is in modern times. On the left is Jean, J-E-A-N, Jean Calment. In French, I don't know how they would pronounce it. I don't know if the women went by Jean like the men did. But anyway, we'll call her Jean for English purposes. But Jean Calment, that's her in 1941 on the left. And I'm sorry, I'll take that back. It's older than that. She was 41 when that picture was taken. She was born in 1875. She died in 1998. Think about that. She was 120 when she died. Let's see. Did I get that right? She died in, let's see, let me make sure I got that. She was born, I know why I mixed up, because I was looking on the internet to verify that. 1875, and so if she was 41, what would that be? 85, 95, 105, 1916. So she was 41 in 1916, and then she died in 1998 or somewhere in there. But anyway, she was 120 years old. And that's a picture of her when she was 120. And one time, she was being interviewed when she was 120 years old, and they asked her, Jean, what is your vision for the future? What's your prognosis for the future? And she said, very brief. Two words, very brief. And it was true, because right after that, she died not too long after that. Now, another woman that lived to be 102, they asked her, say, you've lived so long, are there any advantages to living to be 102 years old? And she said, yes, no peer pressure. No peer pressure. You know, my mom could relate to that. You know, she used to laugh because she was in the funeral choir at her church, and that when she was pushing 80, we moved her up to Wisconsin when she was 80, but as she was getting closer and closer to 80, there were so many people in the church that were passing away. They were having like 3 funerals a week, and my mom called her funeral choir, Madeline, she calls her the Deadbeats. That's what the name of the nickname for the funeral choir was, the Deadbeats. But anyway, but she loved to sing, and even in the nursing home, she would sing. My sister would put on The Sound of Music when she would leave. And my mom, because of her memory was bad, she didn't realize she watched The Sound of Music the day before. To her, it was like Groundhog Day, the movie Groundhog Day. She put it, The Sound of Music! And it's like she hasn't watched it since 1968. And she's just singing. She's got headphones on. There's no sound coming out of the TV. And the headphones are on full blast. You couldn't turn Radio Shack's headphones up any louder. They wouldn't go any louder. And she needed them up full blast. And she'd be sitting there, start singing the songs. The hills are alive! And her voice would reverberate through it. And like she made all of the nurses and the people that took care of people, they all learned the entire movie, The Sound of Music, verbatim. They knew every word because of my mom. But anyway, you know, these are very old people we're talking about here. And Moses, when he wrote this Psalm 90, it's the oldest psalm, obviously, because it's written by Moses. Moses was around a lot longer before King David. Okay, hundreds and hundreds of years before David. And so you have Moses, and then David wrote many psalms and other people, Solomon and other people, and some of them we don't know who wrote them, but this was the first psalm, and it was the first one ever written, and Moses lived to be 120, like Gene Calment. So anyway, he is getting very, very old here as he writes this. And in this psalm, I wanted to point out three things here. Just three simple things as we begin the new year that'll help us to think clearly as we go into the new year. Now, what we see here from this psalm, and especially even the psalm before it, as you can see by this verse on the screen, is that, like we've been saying, life is very brief. It's not that many. It's not that many. There's not that many days and years. And go back one page in your Bible. Go back to Psalm 89, one psalm earlier. The psalmist says this. It's from the New English Translation. I like sometimes to pick out different translations because they say it so clearly and so vibrantly. Take note, he's talking to God. God, take note of my brief lifespan. This is verse 47. Why do you make all people so mortal? Boy, isn't that the truth? Every person lives and every person dies. It's always been that way, and it'll always be that way. Guess what, everybody? You know, we all pray that Jesus would return day by day. Lord, we pray, Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. We're always praying for Jesus' return. Your kingdom come, Lord. Why? Because guess what? If you and I get taken up in the rapture, we won't have to die physically. Think about that. What a blessing that would be to be able to go into eternity and to avoid physical death. But if you take the billions and billions and billions of people that have died over the centuries, they live and they die. Why do you make all people so mortal? Verses 1 through 6 in Psalm 90, everyone, there's a contrast. Verses 1 through 6. In three of the verses, it talks about God's foreverness. God is eternal. He always has been, he always will be. And then it gets contrasted by Moses with our lives on earth. Okay, let's look at this. Let's look at this. I put this beautiful mountain up here. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Moses is basically saying, ever since man was created, you've been here with us. You've been watching out for us. Before the mountains were brought forth, Lord, before you ever created earth, you were there, Lord, before the universe was created. You were there before the earth was created. Before the mountains were brought forth, or before you had ever formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Lord, you existed. We didn't. We came into existence. I like verse 4. But we get the contrast here. Okay? You get a contrast here. 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past. No, I'm sorry, not the contrast. We're going to get to that in the next verse. But this is still talking about God's eternality. Look at this. 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday. To God, 1,000 years is basically nothing. And you know what? It's hard for Moses to describe this because guess what? God doesn't live inside of time. I know that's hard for us to think about, but God lives. In other words, here's what I mean. 1,000,000 years ago, now, and 1,000,000 years in the future, to God, it's right now. Did you hear what I said? 1,000,000 years in the past, right now, and 1,000,000 years in the future, to God, he's outside of time, space, matter, and energy. That's our universe, time, space, matter, and energy. God is outside that. And so God, He's already there a million years in the future because He's beyond time. He's God. That's what Moses said. If I go back to the end of that verse, you are God. You're there. And so 1,000 years in God's sight, it's like one day, and like a watch in the night. It's just a little, it's just like a few hours. A few hours. Wow. Now, that's God's eternality. But when you get to verse 3, and you get to verse 5, and you get to verse 6, 1, 2, and 4, God. 3, 5, and 6, you and I, humans. What do we see? You, God, turn man to dust. You turn him to dust. See, you got a dust storm there coming through that city. You turn man to dust, and you say, return, O children of men. In other words, we die. You turn us to dust, Lord, and you say, it's time for you to return to dust. Remember Genesis? You were made from dust, and you're going to return to dust. It doesn't matter if you're cremated. It doesn't matter if you're put in a coffin. It doesn't matter if your body's donated to science. You know, my dad had Alzheimer's. We donated his body to the University of Chicago. And my dad said, yeah, do that. I want them to look at my brain. They looked at it. They sent us all the results back after they looked at his entire body. And they said, your dad's heart was terrible, and his brain was filled with all kinds of issues and problems. And yeah, it's just what they expected to see, and what we expected. This is the contrast. God is forever. He's everlasting. We're dust. We're not going to be there. It's not that many. It's not that many. In the morning, verse 5, here we go. We're going back. 3, 5, and 6. In the morning, humans are like grass. Humans are like grass. It grows. In the morning, it flourishes. And it grows up. In the evening, it's cut down. And it withers. You mow your lawn. And if it doesn't get mulched very well, it sits on top. The grass sits on top of the grass. And does it stay green for the next 5 weeks? No. It withers. It turns brown. He's comparing you and I to grass. Now, not only does he compare us back in that verse 3 to dust, he compares us to grass. Compared to eternity, our life is like one day. It flourishes, we get old, and we wither, and we die. I love the missionary Amy Carmichael. She said, we will have eternity to celebrate the victories, but only a few hours before sunset to win them. That's what God's wanting us to think about. Listen, everybody, listen to me. This new year, we don't have forever to start thinking, hey, you know what? I've got cousins. I've got aunts. I've got uncles. I've got neighbors. You know what? One day I'm going to witness to them. We need to do it now. We need to take advantage of the day and the time. All right? We'll have eternity to celebrate, but we've only got a few hours before sunset to win them. So that's number one. Life is brief. And also, everybody, and you know this, life is uncertain. Life is very uncertain. We have 365 days of a new year ahead of us, and guess what? None of us knows what's going to happen. Last year, early on in the year, the sports writers in Dallas, oh, let me tell you, they were writing about, in fact, this past week, the sports writer got in the newspaper and he said, I feel like an utter fool. Back in February, March, I was writing about how the Cowboys were going to get in the Super Bowl this year, and I was going to write how they were going to do so well, and I was writing how they're going to have all these Pro Bowl players, and I was going to write, and he's writing all these things about the Cowboys, and guess what? All the things that all these sports writers thought about the Cowboys went down the tubes. Even today, they could win today and not even go into the postseason unless the Giants beat Philadelphia. Oh, my God. You know, 2 weeks ago, we clobber a great team. Last week, we play a lousy team and we get skunked. You know what? We don't know what's going to happen. You know, there was that congresswoman in New York, that real young one. Is it AOC? Yeah, AOC, Ocasio-Cortez. And in February last year, she sang, the whole universe is going to dissolve in 12 years unless we solve climate change. It's all going to go down. I saw someone on the news last night say, wow, that's strange. It's been around forever, and she knows it's going to end in 12 years. You know, if you go into like Walmart now, I'll guarantee you, I haven't gone and done this, but I bet you if I went there today on the racks where you're checking out, they've got, you know, all of these magazines, and you know, they've got, this will be discovered this year, and this person will die this year, and this person, this will happen, and that. And they're making all these conjectures, and you know, like 98% of them are false. The ones they get right is like, it will rain this year. Okay. I love the verse in the Living Bible here in verse 5. I put a different translation because I think it paints it so beautifully. We glide along the tides of time, talking about you and I. We glide along the tides of time as swiftly as a racing river. Bob, has it gone by quickly in your mind, Bob? Has time just passed like a racing river? Yeah. We glide along as the tides of time, along the tides of time as swiftly as a racing river, and vanish as quickly as a dream. It's talking about the brevity of life. Okay? You know, the racing river. You know, we used to take the kids on years and years ago. We would go on these rafting trips down there in San Angelo. I forgot where it is. Down south toward San Antonio, New Braunfels. And sometimes life is like this. It's great, man. You're just enjoying it. It's just pulling you down. You know, you're sitting there eating ho-hos and ding-dongs, and you got your little lunch pack down there. But you know what? That same rafting trip suddenly turns into something like this. And isn't that the way life is? See, we don't know if our lives are going to look like this coming year, or if they're going to look like this, or if they're going to look like both. Probably a little bit of both. Sometimes things are serene, sometimes they're turbulent. But the one prediction of like all these predictions people make at the beginning of the new year, the one prediction that very few people make is this: something unexpected is going to happen this year. Something unexpected is going to happen to me. I'm not expecting it. And it's going to happen to you, and it's going to happen to every one of us. And we just have to live by faith. We just have to say, hey, look, maybe one day somebody will knock on my front door and there will be a lady standing there with 12 roses. And there will be another guy standing there with this sign that's about 8 feet wide. And then I'll get to do this. You know, I get to be like those people on TV. I don't know what I would do. I'd probably just go. But you know what? You never know. This year could be the year that the Publisher's Clearinghouse comes to you, and or you're playing the Wheel of Fortune, and they say, Janet A, you have 24 hours to call in. Janet, you might win the $51,872 that the guy on TV won. Your name might come up on the screen and it says, this is your special secret code, and you call up in 24 hours and you get that same amount of money. Of course, once Uncle Sam gets a hold of it, it'll go down to about $22,000 instead of $52,000. But you get the idea. Unexpected. Now listen, hopefully it'll be good things unexpected happen to you. You get a raise. You get a promotion. Something happens. You have new children, grandchildren or something. All right? Dolores, I don't mean for you children, okay? Grandchildren, great-grandchildren, okay. So that's number two. Life is very brief. Life is very uncertain. Life is very uncertain. And finally, we have to treat it right. Life is very valuable. Okay? Life is very valuable. Verses 10 through 12, and I'm quoting out of the Living Bible again. 70 years are given to us. Now, what Moses means by this is a general truth. Okay? This is kind of like proverbial. You know, we use proverbs. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. A stitch in time saves nine. We have all these proverbs we use. Get out of this room or I'm going to kill you. No, that's not a proverb. Anyway. But we have proverbs, and the Bible has proverbs. It doesn't mean they're true in every single instance. It means they're generally true about people living on earth. 70 years are given to us. And some may even live to 80. And this is true in when Moses was walking the earth, long time before Jesus. But even the best of these years are often empty and filled with pain. Is that true? Yeah. Soon, they disappear, and we are gone. Who can realize the terrors of your anger? Which of us can fear you as he should? Teach us to number our days and to recognize how few they are. Help us to spend them as we should. All right? Now, there's two reasons, and I'm not going to put them on the screen, but I'm just going to give these to you real quickly. There's two reasons time is so valuable. Number one, it's limited. It's not that many. You remember the title? It's not that many. Will Jimeno said, it's not that many. If you live to 90, you only got 32,000 days. Okay, it's not that. How old are you, ma'am? 32,000? Okay. Time is like gold. You know, I checked the price on gold. Gold is $1,500 an ounce. You know, you can go buy an ounce of Pepsi. Well, you'd get a can of it. But an ounce of Pepsi, what is it going to cost you? 10 cents? But an ounce of gold costs you $1,500 because it's limited. There's only so much of it. And number two, time's valuable because it's an influential resource. Okay? How we spend limited time determines what eternity will be like for you and I. Okay? So if we use our time well, you know, if we honor God, like for instance, those of you that are getting a little older, you know what? You ought to be spending more time in prayer in the new year. You ought to be doing a little bit more praying than you did when you were younger. Why? Because you can't get around like you used to. You know, you used to maybe go out and knock doors in the neighborhood, which I plan on doing this new year. One of the things that I want to do. There's 352 houses behind us. And I'd like to be able to knock on every one of those doors personally. In fact, I'm thinking about getting some gifts that we can give door to door, some nice things that'll remind people, hey, there's a little church over here. And then, you know, sometimes you'll meet people and instantly you'll find out there's an openness to God and an openness to the gospel, and maybe we could lead some of them to the Lord. But if not, at least we could leave a good taste in their mouth. That's one of the things that I'd like to do this year. But maybe you're a little older and you can't do that. You know, you could only walk like for about 10 minutes and then you're ready to give it up, you know? I mean, your body can't do it anymore. So what I'm saying is then you can spend more time in prayer. You can use your time well. And I don't mean you have to spend 4 hours a day in prayer, but maybe you can spend an hour in prayer. You get the idea, okay? It's an influential resource. So listen, everybody, first question, are you 100% sure you're saved? You know, I say that a lot here. But, you know, sometimes we have guests, and sometimes there may be people that aren't sure. They've lost their assurance. But first of all, you got to nail down if you're sure you're saved. Once you have that nailed down, then the question to ask yourself is, how am I using my limited time on earth for the glory of God? Now, God doesn't expect us to use all of it. Like, I'm going to watch the Cowboys later today. You know what? I'm not going to get rewarded unless I do a lot of praying for the Cowboys during the game. I might get some reward. But what I'm saying is, I'm not going to get rewarded for frivolous stuff, you know? If I go and play a round of golf or if I do something frivolous, it's not. But you know what? If I do something eternal, if I study God's Word, if I call somebody and encourage them, if I write a note, if I call, Doug called me this week. Doug said, Merry Christmas, Pastor Bob. And he left a message. And Doug, I was going to get the phone, but last week my granddaughter took my phone and hid it somewhere in the house. So all I had was the answering machine. So I'm like, Doug, you can't hear me, but I love you too, brother. Okay. So anyway, so our verse as we start the year, of course, is we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And so we want to think, hey, am I using my time wisely? Life is very valuable. I only have so much. How are you going to use the limited time that you have? Okay, last story. It's a little bit longer, but our final story today. Okay, and it's this. And I told you this one many years ago. But there was a ham radio operator. If you don't know what a ham radio operator, sometimes you'll see people with license plates that says ham radio operator on them. It doesn't mean that they have like a box of spam with an antenna sticking out of it. Okay, that's not a ham radio. Okay, all right, a ham radio, these are people that have these radios where they can talk to one another almost like a walkie-talkie. They can broadcast to hundreds of people within, you know, hundreds of miles around them. They could get on this frequency, and suddenly another person's on that frequency. Sometimes they tell people, hey, at a certain time, I'm going to be on this frequency. And if you'll tune into that frequency, you and I can talk. You might have 100 people talking to one another at one time. Now, of course, they can only talk one at a time. If you had 100 pushing the button, that wouldn't be very much fun. But you get the idea. They're all listening to one another. Now the internet's kind of, you know, it's kind of made this a fading art, but nonetheless, people still do it. And they still love it. Well, this ham radio operator once said this. He said, the older I get, the more I enjoy Saturday mornings. Perhaps it's the quiet solitude that comes with being the first one to rise, or maybe it's the unbounded joy of not having to be at work. Either way, the first few hours of a Saturday morning are most enjoyable. A few weeks ago, I was shuffling toward the basement shack with a steaming cup of coffee in one hand and the morning paper in the other. What began as a typical Saturday morning turned into one of those lessons that life just seems to hand you from time to time. Let me tell you about it. This ham radio operator said this. He said, I turned the dial up into the phone portion of the band on my ham radio in order to listen to a Saturday morning swap net. Along the way, I came across an older sounding chap with a tremendous signal, a strong signal, and a golden voice. You know, he sounded like he should be in the broadcasting business. He was telling whoever he was talking with something about 1,000 marbles. 1,000 marbles. Okay, there's a little marble there somebody took a picture of. And he was talking, this man was telling a story on the radio about 1,000 marbles. I was intrigued and I stopped to listen to what he had to say. Well, Tom, it sure sounds like you're busy with your job. I'm sure they pay you well, but it's a shame you have to be away from your home and your family so much. Hard to believe a young fellow should have to work 60 or 70 hours a week to make ends meet. Too bad you missed your daughter's dance recital. He continued, let me tell you something, Tom. Something that has helped me keep a good perspective on my own priorities. And that's when he began to explain his theory of 1,000 marbles. You see, I sat down one day and did a little arithmetic. The average person lives about 75 years. I know some live more and some live less, but on average, folks live about 75 years. Now then, I multiplied 75 times 52, and I came up with 3,900. Which is the number of Saturdays that the average person has in their entire lifetime. Now stick with me, Tom. I'm getting to the important part. It took me till I was 55 years old to think about all this in any detail. And by that time, I'd lived over 2,800 Saturdays. I got to thinking that if I lived to be 75, I only had 1,000 of them to enjoy. Okay, so he was 55, he had 20 more years. Out of the 3,900 Saturdays, he already used up 2,800. 2,900, he had 1,000 left. So I went to a toy store, and I bought every single marble they had. It took 3 toy stores for me to get 1,000 marbles, and I took them home, and I put them inside a large plastic container right here in the shack next to my gear. Every Saturday since then, since he was 55, every Saturday, he said, I took one marble out, and I threw it in the trash. I found that by watching the marbles diminish, I focused more on the really important things in life. There's nothing like watching your time here on earth run out to help get your priorities straight. Now, let me tell you one Last thing before I sign off with you and take my lovely wife out for breakfast. This morning, I took the very last marble out of the container. I figure if I made it until next Saturday, that I've been given a little extra time. And the one thing we all could use is a little extra time. All right? I'm having problems here. Oh, there it is. I got my pages messed up here. Okay. So this morning he said, I took the very last marble. He had 1,000 marbles and he ran through all, since he was 55, now he's 75 years old, he took out his very last one. He had 1,000 in there and he took out the last marble and threw it away. The jug was empty. He said, I figure if I make it until next Saturday, I have been given a little extra time. It was nice to meet you, Tom. I hope you spend more time with your family, and I hope to meet you again here on the band. 73-year-old man. This is K9NZQ, clear and going QRT. Good morning. You could have heard a pin drop on the band when this fellow signed off. In other words, there were 100 people listening, crickets. Nobody was making comments. They were all just sitting there thinking. I guess he gave us all a lot to think about. I had planned to work on the antenna that morning, and then I was going to meet up with a few hams to work on the next club newsletter. Instead, I went upstairs and woke up my wife with a kiss. Come on, honey. I'm taking you and the kids to breakfast. What brought this on? She asked with a smile. Oh, nothing special. It's just been a long time since we spent a Saturday together with the kids. Hey, can we stop at a toy store while we're out? I need to buy some marbles. In this psalm, Moses said to you and I, teach us to number our days. That's what that guy did. He was numbering his days so he could gain a heart of wisdom. He was saying, listen, I don't want to waste my life. I don't want to just exist. I want to thrive. When I'm 55, I want to thrive. When I'm 65, I want to thrive. Young people, you think you have forever. No, you don't. And you know what? I've told you this before. I'm glad when I got saved when I was 18 years old. You know what? You guys, listen to me. I want you to all look at me, all right? Don't look at your phones. Look at me. I want you to know this. When I was 18, I got saved. I said, no going back to the old Bob. I'm going forward for God. I'm going to use all of my life. And you know what? That was 41 years ago, y'all. 41 years. And you know what? Now that I look back for 41 years, I'm so glad. Are y'all listening? You look back at your phone again, you guys. You're not looking at me. 41 years. I'm so glad I could look back and say, you know what? I've lived 41 years since the day I got saved, and I've been running in God's direction. I haven't gone off the road. I haven't gone in the ditch and say, I don't want to do God for 3 months. I don't want to do God for 3 years. I don't want to do God the next 5 years. No, I kept my eyes on Jesus. And my intention is to do that if I live another 40 years. Let's see, if I live another 40 years, I'll be 99. That'll be pretty old. No peer pressure. Anyway, but you get the idea. And that's what we wanted to talk about today. There's only so much time. There's only so much time. And so let's all take that to heart and say, Lord, I want to glorify you this coming year. Let's bow our heads for prayer. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, just think about it, everybody. We don't know what's coming in this coming year, so what we need to do, we need to stay close to God. We need to walk with God. We need to live by faith. We may have wonderful things happen, or we might have awful things happen. We don't know. We don't know. You know, many years ago, I started a year off. I was doing fine. And midway through that year, found out I had a brain tumor. I couldn't talk. I was having grand mal seizures. I didn't know that was going to happen. And none of us know what's going to happen. So teach us to number our days, Lord. Father, thank you for your people. Thank you for their faithfulness, Lord. The weather wasn't very nice this morning, Lord, and yet everybody, Lord, got up, got out of bed, Lord, made their way to church, went to Bible fellowship, went to church. Lord, thank you so much. Bless your people in this coming year. Lord, as we gather together Tuesday night to enjoy each other's company and then to sing your praises and to pray the new year in together, Lord, we just ask that you'll keep your good hand upon every one of us, Lord. Lord, when tough times come in this coming year, I just pray, Lord, that you'll give us grace to receive them joyfully. It's tough, Lord, to do that. It's tough, but give us grace, Lord. Protect your people, Lord, from serious trouble. Protect them from serious harm. Be a wall of protection around them. And Lord, we put our faith in you and our trust in you. You are God. And we're so glad that we know you, Lord. We ask all these things in your precious name, and all of your people said, Amen.